Hello and good morning, and welcome to another Bible study. Today is the Thursday Bible study. It's a little bit behind because it's not actually Thursday, it's Friday. Yesterday was my son's fifth birthday, so I took the day off yesterday. So today you're getting a double dose of Bible study. You're going to get our normal Bible study for Friday, and you're also going to get yesterday's Bible study for Thursday. So you can either think of it as me being really lazy, or today on Friday you get a super double dose of Friday Bible study. So, you know, look at it how you want. But what we have today is we're going to finish the book of Joshua, and we're going to make a kind of a really weird jump in Joshua. So we're going to look at the very beginning of Joshua, we're going to look at chapter 5 of Joshua, not the very beginning. But, I mean, really, it's the beginning of Joshua, right? Like, chapters 1 through 5 are really the introduction, because until Israel conquers Jericho, like, they're really in the land, but they're not in the land, right? And then so then we have the middle passages, the middle portions of Joshua, where they conquer and defeat all the different Israelite peoples. And then you have the end of Joshua, where there's another census, and then they recommit to the law, to the covenant. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at the recommitment to the covenant tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow. It's going to be today, but in the next lesson, in the next Bible study, we're going to look at the completion of Joshua. So we've really focused on the entry to Joshua, and then we're going to look at the completion of Joshua. Anyways, so today we are looking at chapter 5, verses 2 through 12. So not a large portion of scripture, Joshua chapter 5, verses 2 through 12. And here's where, if you want to go ahead and pause your audio, so go ahead and pause your audio, and after you've read through the text, maybe a couple times, just to make sure you've got everything, then go ahead and unpause, and we are going to dive right into the text. Okay, so here we are in Joshua chapter 5, in one of the stranger chapters of the Bible. But it seems really strange until we look back at the Exodus. Okay, now remember, Moses and Joshua, one of the themes that we're looking at in the book of Joshua is how Joshua completes and fulfills the mission and the ministry of Moses. Okay, so what we have is Joshua is told by Yahweh, before they go and fight the people of Jericho, make flint knives, circumcise all the Israelites once again. So Joshua does this. He makes all these flint knives, and he circumcises the Israelites at what's called the Hill of Foreskins. Okay, the Hill of Foreskins. So that's, you know, that's a neat name, you know? Like, who wants to go live there? You know, it's like, oh, honey, we just bought a new home. Oh, where'd you buy it? Oh, we bought it at the Hill of Foreskins. You know, it's like, oh, like, can we live somewhere else, you know? Like, anyway, so, yeah, so obviously there were a lot of men who were circumcised, right? So, and then the Bible says this is why Joshua had to circumcise them. All the men who were old enough to go off to battle when they left, all the boys and all the men who were circumcised already, because they're supposed to be circumcised on the eighth day, right? Because that was in keeping with the tradition of the Hebrews, all the Abrahamic peoples, they were circumcisers. So the people had continued, the Israelites had continued to circumcise themselves long after Abraham, long after the time of Abraham. However, in the desert, none of the fathers were circumcising their children. None of the fathers were circumcising their children while they lived in the desert, as they were moving towards the promised land in that slow 40-year sojourn where all of them were to die, okay? Now, this is the interesting part of this text, okay? Now you say, well, Luke, what's interesting about this? Well, it's really a good question of why did they not circumcise their children in the desert? Why did they not circumcise their children in the desert? Now that seems like a question that the Bible would normally offer an answer to, except the Bible doesn't offer an answer to that question. The Bible does not give us any insight whatsoever into why these fathers, why the children born in the desert were not circumcised. There's none. There's no understanding. There's nothing in the Bible that ever tells us why that was. So we're left to either assume one of two things, okay? This is what we're left to assume. Either the why they didn't circumcise is completely unimportant, okay, that because if it doesn't tell us, maybe it's because it's just that unimportant. You know, sometimes the Bible doesn't tell us things because there are things that we simply don't need to know. Okay, so that could be one reason. The other reason is because it's important, but we're expected to just understand and know why it was important without the Bible having to out and out tell us, right? So that's the problem of biblical silence. When the Bible is silent on things, we really don't know whether it's really, really important and we're just expected to know why it's important, or it's really, really unimportant and we're focusing on things that don't need to be focused on. And that's really the dilemma we're in. Is this really important material that the Bible expects us, that God expects us to understand, or is it unimportant material that we're focusing on without purpose? Well, before we answer that question, let's take a step backwards. Now, remember, I said that there's a strong connection that the Bible is trying to make. The author of Joshua is trying to make a strong connection between what happens with Moses and what happens with Joshua. I mean, the text tells us this, right? Like, in the beginning, right? So let's go back. Let's actually do this. Let's scroll back to Joshua chapter 1. So if you got your Bible, go back to Joshua chapter 1. And the first verse, it says, "After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready, cross the Jordan, lead these people into the land I am ready to hand over to them, for I am handing over every place you set foot, as I promised Moses.'" Okay, and it goes on, and then we look at verse 5. "No one will be able to resist you all the days of your life," okay? "No one will be able to resist you all the days of your life." So, interestingly, that's a singular. It's not talking about the Israelites. It's saying no one will be able to resist you, Joshua, all the days of your life. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Be strong and brave. You must lead these people into conquest, the conquest of this land that I solemnly promised their ancestors that I would hand over to them. Make sure you are very strong and brave. Carefully obey all the law my servant Moses charged you to keep. Do not swerve from it from the right to the left, so that you may be successful in all you do. This scroll must not leave your lips. You must memorize it day and night so that you can carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will be successful. I repeat, be strong and brave. Do not be afraid. Do not panic. For I, Yahweh your God, am with you in all you do." So, continuing to scroll down, you know, so Joshua tells the people to get ready, and then look at verse 16. "They told Joshua," that is the people, "'We will do everything you say. We will go wherever you send us. Just as we obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. But may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Any man who rebels against you will be executed,'" blah, 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 blah. Okay. So what do we have? Back in chapter 1, okay, in case you missed it, in case you don't just naturally pick this up, the text is being explicit in telling us that Joshua is Moses' successor. Joshua is completing the mission and the ministry of Moses. And not only is Yahweh doing this, but the people recognize Joshua as Moses' successor. The people say, "Just as the Lord was with Moses, we expect the Lord to be with you, and just as we obeyed the Lord through Moses, we will obey the Lord through you. You, though, need to be strong and courageous. You need to be the man that God wants you to be." Okay, so the text itself in the very first chapter, in fact, if you look at the very first chapter of Joshua, the whole first chapter of Joshua is really this commissioning of Joshua. It's the Lord commissioning him and then the people accepting that commission. And then chapter 2, we have the spies, right? Then chapter 3, they cross the Jordan. And then chapter 4, Israelite commemorates crossing the Jordan. And then we get to chapter 5. So really, there have been two actual events that have mattered up until this point. Two events. You have the commissioning of Joshua, you have the spies in the land, and then you have the crossing of the Jordan. So between the introduction, which is the commissioning of Joshua, you have the Israelites have crossed the Jordan, or they've sent the spies into the land, and then the whole people have crossed the Jordan. Then they've crossed the Jordan, and now they decide that they're going to circumcise their men. Not a lot has happened, okay? We've had a lot of material, but not a lot has happened. But like I said, the key to remember is Joshua is the successor of Moses. Now, what happened to Moses? Okay, now this is a question that you're kind of thinking. You're like, what are you talking about, Luke? What do you mean, what happened to Moses? What happened to Moses? Well, go with me here to Exodus. Okay, flip through your Bibles, go to Exodus, and then go to chapter 4, and verse 24. Chapter 4, verse 24. Now, Exodus chapter 4, verse 20. You can go ahead and pause this if you need more time to get there. But Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. Moses, the Lord has come to Moses. The Lord has spoken to Moses. The Lord has told Moses to go. Moses is bringing his children. Now on the way they stopped for the night, the Lord met Moses, verse 24, and sought to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off the foreskin of her son, and touched it to Moses' feet, and said, "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me." So the Lord let him alone. At that time, she said, a bridegroom of blood, referring to the circumcision. So what happened to Moses? For some reason, Moses had chosen not to circumcise his son. I'm assuming that this is Gershom, but it may not have been Gershom. But anyway, so for some reason, Moses chooses not to circumcise his son. And when he's on his way to fulfill the mission of God, the mission that God sent him on, by the way, God sent him on that mission. And God said nothing about circumcising your children to Moses. Why? Why hadn't Moses circumcised his children? We don't know. We just know that Moses didn't circumcise his son when he was sojourning in the desert. We don't know why he didn't, but we do know that it angered the Lord, and the Lord was ready to kill him, even though the Lord had chosen him for the mission. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. If this was so important, if this was so crucial, why didn't Yahweh tell Moses, "Hey, Moses, I want you to go do this for me, but first I need you to circumcise your son"? He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. And it's mind-boggling. Why didn't Moses circumcise his sons in the desert? We don't know. The text doesn't tell us, but we do know it angered God. Why didn't the Israelites circumcise their children in the desert? We don't know. The text doesn't tell us, but it certainly offended the Lord. Now, here's the difference. Moses, when Moses was out there, when Moses was sojourning back when he was going back to Egypt, he was going back to Egypt with his wife and children. But because he was bringing his uncircumcised son, it angered the Lord, and his wife had to do the circumcising. And then, of course, his wife actually goes back. She turns away. She's angry at Moses. She turns away and goes back to live with her father in Midian. And that's why she's later reconnected with Moses as they're returning after they've actually made the Exodus, right? So here we have a very similar story, right? We have Joshua, who's the leader of Israel. We have the Israelites moving. Through the land or into the land, and before they begin to fulfill their ministry, before they begin to fulfill their ministry of overthrowing the Canaanite cities, what does Joshua say we have to do? He says, we need to circumcise these children. We need to circumcise them. Now, we don't know why it didn't happen in the desert. I think it's very interesting that Moses didn't circumcise his kids in the desert, and that the Israelites didn't circumcise their kids in the desert. It's a very strange connection. Probably Moses didn't make a big deal of it. I mean, if you want to know the simplest answer is that Moses didn't make a big deal of it. Circumcision was Abraham's covenant, by the way. It was the covenant with Abraham. Moses, I'm not trying to impugn Moses' character, but Moses doesn't seem to have valued circumcision, right? So, I mean, if you want to know why, Moses, maybe it was offensive to the Midianites, and maybe that's why he didn't circumcise his kids, because he didn't want to offend his father-in-law, he didn't want to offend his wife. And so maybe he was never really hardcore about circumcision. I mean, he was raised among the Egyptians. Now, there are some theories that the Egyptians also practice circumcision. I don't know, but I've heard that before, so don't go betting stock on that. But Moses didn't emphasize it. Moses didn't insist on it. And it almost cost Moses his life. Joshua will not make that mistake. Joshua will not make that mistake. He knows that circumcision is the sign of the covenant. It is the sign of the covenant. It is the sign between God and his people. And Joshua will not go to battle. He will not go to battle with his people uncircumcised. Joshua learns from history. You want to know what a great leader is? You want to know what a great general is? A great commander? A great man? It's somebody who learns from history. Now, we have a lot of people in our country today, a lot of politicians, who you would honestly think they have never picked up a history book in their life. You know, you really would. We have a lot of people in America that are voting on things that you would think have never read a history book. Maybe they haven't, right? A great leader is somebody who learns from history, a person who learns from the mistakes of the past, a person who can learn from other people's mistakes, because that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is not learning from your own mistakes. That is wisdom, but really true wisdom, great wisdom, is learning from other people's mistakes. It is a wonderful blessing of God to not have to make your own mistakes, but to be able to learn from other people's, right? That's truly a blessing. And Joshua does this. And now the fascinating thing is, and I know I mentioned this before in one of the Bible studies earlier, where do they do this? Where do they have this circumcision? On the other side of the Jordan. On the other side of the Jordan, when they're already in enemy territory. Joshua has so much confidence and so much faith in God that he says, even if our men are unable to fight because they're for you know several days because they've just been circumcised, even with that, we are still going to cross the Jordan. We are not going to go to battle unprepared, because they thought that Joshua believed that it was a greater hindrance to his army. It was a greater hindrance to his army to be offending God than it was to have a huge portion of his army recently circumcised and unable to move well. That's the level of faith that Joshua had in God. Now, why did Joshua have that kind of faith? Because that's not what most generals today. Most generals today are not going to make that decision. They're not. Why was Joshua able to do it? Because Joshua had that level of faith in God, and because Joshua knew his history. He knew that when Moses tried to get by without circumcising his kids, it almost cost him his life, and he was not going to make the same mistake. We need leaders like Joshua. And that's one of the things we need to pray for. We need to pray for leaders like Joshua. Anyways, that is all for right now. A little bit later, we're going to have our Friday, our true Friday Bible study. This is our Thursday Bible study. But I thank you for your attention, and God bless. Bye.